نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم.
The human being, he is based on two things. He is made from two parts or two factors. One is the physical body and one is the ruh, the soul, the inner state. Now the ruh and the body, physical body, they have a very deep connection, very deep relationship. And this connection, this relationship between the body and the soul, somebody has for 10 years, somebody 15 years, somebody 1 year, somebody 60 years, somebody 80 years, somebody 100 years, somebody 120 years. So this friendship between the body and the soul continues for periods of time. And then such a time comes in the life of a person that the body and the soul, they depart from each other. They leave each other. And they're made to detach from each other, because it's Allah's decision at that time. Because Allah has ordained death. And when that time comes, it's a select time, it's a selected time for every human being. Nobody can delay death by a second, later or earlier. Wherever it's written, whether you're sick or not, whether you have a heart attack or not, whether you have high blood pressure or not, whether you're healthy, you might be young, you might be old, you might be a kid, you might be 5 years old, you could be 2 years old, you could be 2 months old. But when Allah instructs, then the soul is taken away. And how does a person pass away? The ruh, the soul, it is taken out of the body at the time of death. And when the soul comes out, then the body becomes useless. And the situation is such, example, just like a watch, if you have a watch on and there's a battery in the watch. If you take the battery out, then the hands of the watch will just stay there. Wherever they are, they'll stop there. They won't move a millimeter. In the same way, when a person's ruh is extracted, his soul, then at that time, however he is, wherever he is, he will stay like that. He will freeze in that position. He'll be dead. And the battery will be taken out. He'll pass away. So what happens then? Then two parts. So I am speaking about this because we are revising the topic, because this is our real essence of our life. Because the world we live in makes us forget the environment, when makes us forget the reality, the taste and enjoyment of the world. But this is the real lesson that we're talking about today. The objective of reading the Quran is so that we revise these topics and remember our reality. So Allah Ta'ala, very clearly, the whole Quran He has given to us for this purpose. So the ruh, the soul, when a person dies, because the soul is a heavenly thing, it's a spiritual thing, and its place to live is not the world, so it flies away, the soul, when a person dies. Because the body is made of soil and clay, fire, water, dirt, soil, air, and the body is made of all these elements. So the body is buried then in the earth, which we call the grave. The body is buried in the grave. Our father, grandfather, great-grandfather, mother, all our relatives, they are buried in this earth because our body physically is made of earth soil. But the ruh, the soul, is heavenly. So the soul will fly to the heavens after death. Now, what is the connection of the soul and the body? Now the second part of the story begins. What is that story? Sari'ul Hisab, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that give me the accounts of your life, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years you lived in the world. Allah says, give me the accounts of what you did. So in this accounting, both will be together, the body and the soul will be together. So the connection is there again. And in the Hisab, the reckoning, when you'll be asked, there'll be punishment will start or reward will start due to your good deeds or your bad deeds. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the grave, the face, because we haven't got to Jannah yet. There's another Jannah Allah's made in the grave, the face of the grave. It's the shadow cabinet. You know, like the shadow cabinet. It's not the real paradise. So when you die, you go into barzakh, which is a phase of life in the grave for the ruh, for the soul. After that comes the next phase, the day of judgment, and then comes the real hell and paradise in the third phase. So the second phase, during the life in the grave, the ruh, the soul, there's two positions, yeah, illiyin and sijjiyin. So the Quran says, there are two types of people in the world who are present in this world. Who are they? One are the good, pious, upright people, about whom Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, they are muttaqeen fi jannatin uyun. Illa al-muttaqeena fi jannatin uyun. Say Subhanallah. So our eyes are closed, unfortunately, today. This is the reality of life that we need to understand. Allah Ta'ala says, who are the people who will go into paradise? Muttaqeen, the muttaqi people. The muttaqi people, who are they? Where will they go? They'll go in the gardens, in paradise, in fields, in palaces. The palaces that Allah has made, they will go and live there in paradise. The good people, muttaqeen. And where will the bad people go? Jahannam. Yes, in the second place. So there are two places, illiyin, paradise, and sijjiyin. So illiyin, who will go? The muttaqi people, the fearful people, the pious people, the sincere, upright people. And the sijjiyin, who will go there? Those who disobey Allah. Their ruh will go there, their soul. So both places the ruh arrives. If he goes to illiyin, then subhanAllah, what a beautiful place Allah Ta'ala says. The illiyin, the souls, when they get to the paradise type place, when the soul arrives there, for that person there's a beautiful couch, beautiful sofas, nice alcohol, and glasses full of drinks, and beautiful enjoyment, and everyone's happy, and looks at each other, and everyone says, praise be to Allah, we're enjoying ourselves. We are free now. A great feeling and emotion there. The Quran says happiness beyond happiness that you cannot imagine. They're immersed in the happiness. And let's pray that Allah takes us there. Ameen. This is the journey of life, my friends. Now, the other type of, the second grade of people, may Allah forgive. The second group of people, the Sijjiyin, is where they will arrive. Allah says about those people, it's the worst of all places, full of punishment. And whatever, they will be treated with adab, with punishments. There will be no peace. There will be pus and blood and heat, and there will be punishments. And when they arrive there, from their mouth, the Quranic words are, they'll say, death, death, death. If only Allah was to make us die forever. So we couldn't see this. This is what they will be saying from their mouths. How much Allah clearly has made us alert and shaken us with this message. Now the question arises here, that where are we? Which position are we in? Let's assess ourselves. Let's scan ourselves. That which group are we included in? Where will our soul go? Where will our soul go? Because the azab that will be given, the punishment that will be given in the grave when we die, after we die, we go in the grave, due to the deeds, there will also be two parts in the grave. The people, the ruh that will eventually go to the Iliyin, the good place, his body in the grave, then the doors of paradise will be opened up for him, and there'll be niceties in the grave, carpets will be laid, and lush surroundings, it'll be laid down and beautiful, and he'll be told that you sleep just like the bride sleeps. This is the Iliyin, the good people. So after you die, when you go in the grave, that first phase. So the body will be in the grave, and the Iliyin that's gone to the ruh that's gone to the Iliyin, they're connected. So the ruh is enjoying itself in the Iliyin, and the body is enjoying itself in the grave. So what will be the connection? The pious leaders have said, just like, you know, in the heavens you have the sun, and the sun's rays that come to the earth, and you feel the heat, isn't it? In the same way, the ruh that will be in the Iliyin, it will be connected to the body in the grave, and there'll be that enjoyment. Subhanallah. The Sijjin, the sinful people, when they will get the punishment, the body, then the ruh, the soul also will be connected. It will also be getting the punishment. Both will be in that connected phase. May Allah Ta'ala forgive of punishment. Both the soul and the body will be punished. So now, there are the two groups. Iliyin, the good people, the enjoyment in the grave, and also the Sijjin. So the Iliyin, the Muttaqeen, who are those people? Inna ladheena amanu wa amilu salihat, jannatun tajri fi tahti al-anhar, khalideena fiha abada, dhalika al-fawzu al-azim. Allah says in the Quran. The people who will get the rewards, who are these people? First thing, they will enjoy themselves in the Iliyin, their soul will enjoy them. Who are these people? First thing is that they have Iman. Alladheena amanu, they are the people of faith, say Subhanallah. First requirement is the certificate of Iman. You should have belief. Then with belief, faith, because just belief on its own is not useful. After having belief, what do you need to do? Amal, deeds. Deeds, second step. And then after deeds, you need third, you need righteous deeds. Good deeds. So three steps that you need to have, three parts. You need to have Iman, belief, you need to have amal, practice, and righteous practice. So what are the amal salihat? The good deeds, totally those deeds that are according to the instruction and the order of Allah. According to Allah's order and instruction. Which order? The whole Quran Allah has given, that the whole Quran is full of Allah's orders. So that's where you learn them from. Whoever lives his life according to Allah's orders, which is the Quran, whoever lives his life like that, then he is following a life of amal salihat. My friends, Islam is not some new thing. It's no 50% this, 50% that have world and have deen, do this and you can do this, leave this and do that, this is allowed and that's not allowed. No, Islam is not like that. Allah Ta'ala has announced, fi silmi kaffa, that if you want to come into Islam, then wholeheartedly come into Islam. Whoever doesn't come 100% wholeheartedly, then he is following the footsteps of shaitan, the devil. Then shaitan, devil is with that person. Allah has given you belief, iman. Allah has given you ability to practice, but your deeds are not according to Allah's instructions. You just prayed salah, sometimes you pray at home, sometimes you leave salah, sometimes you pray late, sometimes you do this, take the burqa off, take the niqab off, do this and that, take interest, take riba, sometimes leave it, sometimes take people's property, sometimes go on hajj, go on umrah, wear these clothes or those clothes, or make this appearance or that appearance. Sometimes, if you get married after marriage or something else. In other words, you're half-half. You're not constant. You just follow your own method. That is not Islam. That is not deen. This is not the definition of Islam. One Muslim, after you become a Muslim, after accepting Iman, having faith, then the second responsibility on the individual is that he practices according to the Quran's instructions. If you pray salah, prayer, don't pray the way you want to pray. Look, what does the Quran order how to pray? Quran has ordered. So practically, where do you learn that? From the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you will learn the orders from the Quran, and the details you'll get from the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He prayed like this, he prayed his salah like this, he prayed like this. And all the hadith books are full of the Siha Sitta. They're full of this guidance, the details behind the Quranic verses. So everything, the Quran and the Hadith, tell us how to live our lives practically. There's nothing else in the Hadith or the Quran. They are guidance for us, footstep by footstep in our life, that don't go left or right and come off the track. Don't go beyond the Quran or less than the Quran and the Hadith. Follow the Quran and the Hadith. Whoever goes left and right, he cannot be successful, that man. It's a condition that you have to live your life the way that Allah has explained in the Quran and according to the Hadith. And the insan who lives his life like this, the person's eating, drinking, standing, sitting, wearing, going, traveling, everything. Not just you pray salah, or you keep the fast in Ramadan, or you've gone on Umrah, or you keep the fast, or you pay zakat. No, this is no. Fi silmika, for totally 100% coming to Islam, deen equals Islam. Islam isn't just worship. No. It's also society, your personal life, taking, giving, meeting people, society life. The whole collection A to Z is Islam. Not just one part of life is Islam. Oh, I'm a Muslim, I just pray and I fast and I'm pious and I'm cautious. No, this is nothing. Society, how are you in society? How is your conduct? How is your manners? How do you give to people? How do you take from people? How do you run your business? How do you fulfill your promises? And how do you pay attention to what you say? How do you sit and meet people? And this is more important than worship. Let me explain this to you. Ibadah, worship, for example, if a person's weak in worship, praying, even then he might get away with it. But if you are lacking in the life, in the environment, in society, you will not be let off. Remember this. We are very weak in Islam. You know, when we're given the stamp of someone says, oh, he's pious, he's praying, and he's doing this, and they think he's pious. So I'm just revising our lesson again today. We're just revising our lesson so that we can become stronger. Because very close is our life going to come to an end. Our life is going to come to an end very soon. So whoever goes with the deen, a complete deen, he dies and takes that deen. Then la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. You have nothing to fear, you have nothing to grieve. Allah says, my human being, you are my friend in the earth and you'll be my friend in the hereafter. These are the awliya Allah. That's how we should live our life as a mu'min, as a believer. Okay. So the Quran we have, I'm also speaking to you. The noble companions, their lives, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sayings. We have everything with us, the guidance. So why don't we practice? That's the question here, the question mark, isn't it? Those people who go into hell, what's the reason they're going to go to hell? Why is this happening? Well, why will this happen? And this is the game. And this is the game we need to understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human beings, and Allah said to the angels that the human is different to you, O angels. The angels do tasbih, one angel's praying, one's doing tasbih, one's praying. None of the angels know about sin. They're not able to sin. They don't even know what is disobedience. They don't even understand the reality. What's the concept of disobedience? Because they are angelic, they are made of light, and they do not commit sin. But Allah said, I'm going to create another being, say subhanallah. I will create such a creation, Allah said. Before Allah said, I will test that human being. Look at Allah's choice. Look what Allah Ta'ala did. Allah said, I'm going to create the human being and he'll have very high ranks, and the angels will see that I will set that human being free on the earth, and he'll be a high grade person. And he'll have high maqam, I'll give him high status, high rank. And inside that person, Allah said, I will test him, I will challenge him. And Allah's instilled inside us something, which is the real game that we have to play. What is that? That is the nafs. The nafs. Listen to carefully to what I'm saying. What is it that we've got inside us? The nafs, the desires. And it's like if you take the desires out, then if you take the tongue out of the snake, even then it can't bite and give the poison. So if the nafs comes out of the human being, then he's finished. He's an angel. Nothing left. No desires. Nafs is beaten, crushed, then the game is finished. So all the challenges and the issues we have in the life, what makes us, gives us the challenge, say, is the nafs. So the main game of your nafs, your desires, it starts from the top. It started at the top when Allah Ta'ala made the universe and the earth. So how did it start? How did the game start? So what is it that Allah Ta'ala instilled inside the human being, the nafs? So the example you'll get from Shaitan, the devil. Shaitan, what did he do, the devil? He doubted. He challenged, and for that reason Allah expelled the Shaitan, expelled him. So that same nafs, the desires, with that same way Allah has instilled the Shaitan with the same emotion and qualities inside the human being. Because the thing that creates the worst of sins and the thing that creates the worst of emotions inside a person is the nafs. What is it? It creates the concept of challenging. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the discussion up to now, what I'm saying? So how does it start that a human being disobeys Allah? That a human being is a good man. How can a human being challenge? Allah says pray, he says I don't want to pray. Allah says leave this haram and lawful thing, he says I don't want to leave. Allah says put your eyes down, no, I want to pick my eyes up. I want to look. Allah says stop doing this, he'll say no, I'm going to walk around like this. Allah says don't do this action, he says I want to do this action. How can the human being dare to challenge Allah? So much power the human being's got, has he? So what is it making him, driving him to do wrong? What do we call this? We say that the human being has become sarkash. This is called sarkishi. This is where the human being is challenging Allah, rejecting Allah. Where has this coming to us? How can we dare to reject Allah? And we're sleeping. We're not going to pray Salah, we say in the morning. We're not going to pray Salah. No. Allah says, do this. We say, we don't want to do this. Look at this. Imagine. And our body, we all know the person who has belief. He knows that his life and success is based that Allah orders, and we should react to Allah's order. We should comply. Allah orders that when I order you, you do it straight away. The whole Quran is reminding us. So I say, I don't want to do it. I reject. What's the reason of rejection? The reason, my friends, is the rejection has come inside us. The challenging has come into us. And the nafs, the desires, has developed that emotion. The desire has come into us, and it has developed the ability for us to challenge and reject Allah. He says, don't do this. Our nafs says, don't do this. So two things are created through this. Remember this. One is the passion, and one is power, strength. These are the two emotions or qualities that are developed when the person, when he rejects. When a person rejects, he has these two qualities within him. And both of them, when they come together, equals rejection. Passion, enjoyment, and lust in the world. He has desires and lust and passion and enjoyment. And the enjoyment doesn't let him follow Allah. The sleeping enjoyment, money enjoyment, dunya enjoyment, woman enjoyment, all of this enjoyment, musing enjoyment, this enjoyment. Where he gets enjoyment, the human being, you understand? Then that will make that person stand and reject. That's the one quality of rejection, is the enjoyment. And the second emotion of rejection is power. Power, what does power do? You do zulm, oppression, money. Stop this, take this from this person, finish this person off. Zulm and oppression beyond oppression in his life because of power. So rejection creates two things. The enjoyment, the lust and the passion. And secondly, power, strength. So the nafs, it makes a person do these things, and in the world, he implements these two factors in the world. What should we do? Allah Ta'ala, you gave us the nafs, the desires. Allah, you gave us this. You made us as human beings. You made us to obey you, but then you put the nafs inside us, and the nafs has made us rejectors. And you say, Allah, the ruh, our soul, what does the nafs do? That whatever Allah Ta'ala likes, then the nafs doesn't like that. Your desires don't like that. Yes, so a person who worships his desires, he won't like those things that Allah likes. Allah likes that you imitate my Prophet Muhammad, and our nafs says, no, go the opposite way. Keep listening to what I'm saying. What does Allah Ta'ala like? Atiyu Allah, atiyu Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Rasul. Allah says, I like it that you obey me, and how? You follow my Prophet who I sent to you, because لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةً حَسَنًا. He is an example to mankind. Allah said, I like that the person who is iman, who believes, then he imitates my Prophet Muhammad. His face, his appearance, his libas, his clothes, his walking. Nakal, nakal, nakal. Wherever he is, whatever environment he's in, he doesn't go left and right. He doesn't come off the track. Allah says, I like this so much. The man who imitates my Prophet Muhammad, Allah says, I'll start to love that person. Allah, the Lord of the universe, is saying this in the Quran. What a great statement. Okay? So that's the one side. But the nafs doesn't like that. Our desire says, no, I'm not going to do that. Oh, I'll pray Salah, but I'm not going to follow the Prophet Muhammad. I'm not going to follow the Sunnah, says the nafs. Oh, it's too hard for me to do that, says the nafs, the desires. Oh, it's impossible for me to do this. So isn't this our Islam today? 90% are following this deen, isn't it? The wrong deen. That you can say, I'm a lover of the Prophet Muhammad, this and that, but keep the bid, brother. Oh, no, I'm not going to keep the bid. Oh, maybe next Eid Miladun Nabi, next year I'll keep it. I'll make the niyah, inshallah, but I'm not going to do it. This is what we call enjoyment, rejection, passion. And this is deception of the person today. The biggest love of Allah is Allah orders, and we practice straight away. He is the greatest lover of Allah. He doesn't look his environment, his circumstances. Allah. The person who understands and hears Allah's message immediately implements. There was an ashik, a lover of Allah, the hukam came that this is the fire, that go into the fire, Allah Ta'ala said to his prophet. Yes, Allah, you have to listen to Allah's order. Don't listen to what these people say. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Ibrahim, and he jumped into the fire of Nimrud. According to Allah, he said, "Fine, Allah, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel," and he jumped into the fire. He just recited one verse of the Quran. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah, your order has come. Whatever you say is enough for me. I'm not bothered to think about anything else. To this extent that when he jumped into the fire, when he was thrown into the fire, Allah gave him that test, challenge. Jibreel, the angel came. He said, "I'm Jibreel, order. Shall I put the fire out?" He said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, "Shall I just wave my wings and take the fire away from me and take you over here?" Ibrahim alayhi salam, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jibreel." He said, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel." Ibrahim said, at that time Ibrahim alayhi salam said that, this verse, this zikr. So today the mu'min should say this on his lips, the believer. The believer today in the world, when he gets the message, a challenge, when it's time, he's about to break Allah's orders, there's a challenge, there's a test on one side, there's all sin and wrong, and Allah orders, if you do this, it's finished. What do? We close eyes. "Oh, it's alright, I'll do this at home today. We'll see afterwards what we have to do." Who are those people? They are the Sijjiyin. Remember that, I told you this in the beginning. Their ruh will go to Sijjiyin. This is just a game for a few days, my brothers in this world. It's just a test for a few days. Just a test. Yes, either here you take a bit of pain and difficulty for a few days. Remember, when you have a test, an exam, there's difficulty. "I'm not going to eat haram because Allah's order, don't take the haram. I'm not going to do this unlawful action." The salah, no brothers, you can't leave salah. You can't follow your desires in the hereafter. Allah is explaining now in the world. Allah says, "I don't need your deeds. Whatever I tell you, that's what you have to do. Then you'll be successful," Allah says, "according to my orders." Why? Because the nafs doesn't want to do that. The desire, Allah orders that he's put the poison there. The nafs has injected the poison. That what I like, you need to do that, says the nafs, the desires. So these are two opposite clashes or forces. One is Allah's order. And that when we start to dislike Allah's orders, "I'm lazy, I don't feel like it, I want to do it." Listen to these statements that we say from our tongues regularly. Why don't you practice, brother? "Oh, I was lazy." Oh, "It's sad to see you like this." "Oh, my heart feels like it so much, but I'm just lazy nowadays. I don't feel like it." This is a common statement. What's the laziness? It's the desires inside us. Nafs. Laziness doesn't come into the equation. There's no such thing as laziness. It's the nafs, the desires inside us. The question doesn't arise that a person who has iman, Allah's ordering him, and opposite to that, he enjoys something else. He gives up 1,000 sleeps nights. He gives up thousands and millions of currencies and pounds. He says, "How can I be a believer and I reject Allah's order?" But only at that time will you say this. When the nafs is crushed, when the poison of the nafs is extracted, say subhanallah. Do you understand? Keep on listening to what I'm saying. The points keep coming and I keep on explaining and I'll conclude. Inshallah, you will be happy when you understand what I'm saying. Okay, so we continue. So now, where were we? Rejecter. A person who rejects. Evildoer. Sinful, you understand? Rejector, he just staunch, he's arrogant person. Yeah, no rein on him. Without rein, like the dog has no rein, no owner, and they put the leash on him. And one is the dog that stray, he'll cut this person and cut that person. Nobody can control that dog. So the human being becomes like that, becomes a rejector, arrogant, stubborn. He's stubborn. So no, I'll do what I want, I'll do what I feel like. Nobody controls him, nobody can advise him. So the stubborn, arrogant person, to control him, what do you need to do? To grab him, to calm him down, what do you need to do? You have to control that person. The dog, the stray, running around, biting people, what do we do? What do we do? That dog comes in to control. How? Then they put the leash around his neck, the rein, say subhanallah, around the dog. So as soon as you put the leash around him, yes, and then he's under control. Yes, he's been controlled, he can't cut anybody, bite anybody, he comes into the chain, comes into the kennel, whatever you want the dog to do then after that, it's up to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the nafs, your desires is like a dog. Your desires is like the dog. So our job is that we need to not obey the desires, rather we need to control the desires. Say subhanallah. Put the rein, bring it under the control, the desires, the nafs. Take the nafs al-amara to nafs al-mutmainna, to the high level. Yes, from nafsi amara, take it to nafsi mutmainna. When you get the dog, the stray, put the leash around it, teach it manners, then it walks after you. When you teach the manners to the dog, then even if you take the leash off, the rein off, go and get the ball, throw the ball, and they'll get the ball, come back to you. Isn't it? The same dog that was cutting people, biting people, what do? You trained it, you taught it manners, principles, and put the leash around it, taught it the manners. Same way as your desires inside you, nafsi amara. It's a stray, and it makes you reject, and it makes you stubborn, and disobey Allah. At that time, we are stood in front of Allah at that time, when we're rejecting Allah. Stubborn in front of Allah, arrogantly, my friends, this is reality, I'm telling you. Look at this scene, picture the scene, that whenever a human being disobeys Allah, then he is like that. If you die at that time, then Allah's drawn a sketch, that shaitan standing in front, and what was his hashar, what was his conclusion? Same way will be worse in the heavens, will be worse. And Allah gave a warning to us. So this arrogance and stubbornness, to control it, Allah Ta'ala sent 124,000 prophets to the earth, more than that. And not for no other reason except one. My friends, all the prophets that came to the earth, from the beginning to the final prophet Muhammad, all the prophets came, they only had one function, one job, that the human beings in the world tell them how to grab their desires and to control them. How to bring your desires under control. Because look, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful person is only that person. Only that person will go to Illiyin. جَنَّةُ الْعُيُونَ, the highest paradise. Only he will go to paradise. Only he will enjoy himself paradise. That person who has controlled his desires, his nafs. Only that person. SubhanAllah. Whoever has controlled his desires can get these places. Whoever has not controlled his desires, he can pray, he can fast, he can do all the worship actions, but he will not be successful. It's apparent, obviously. He's praying salah, what about the rest of his life? He's fasting, what about the rest of his life? He's doing worship, what about his nafs is astray. And one day he'll say, do this, one day he'll make you worship, the next day he'll make you sin. And the nafs that's astray, he'll make you worship, but he'll make you reject Allah. Because a person who's a mu'min, a believer, and disobeying Allah, two opposite things. That's why the nafs has injected us, Allah is ghafoor raheem. We say Allah is merciful, Allah will forgive. Keep on sinning. You will have heard this regularly in society. And such confidence these things give you, astaghfirullah, that thousands of people have come out of the fold of Islam. Oh, you're a lover of Allah. Oh, you're forgiven. Oh, you're a worshipper. Lead the detail of the deen. What is Allah's rahmah? What is mercy? What is the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That he is rahmatul lil alameen. He is no doubt in this. He is the mercy to the universe, to the mankind, to all creation. But we are going against this, that we are losing out of the reality of Islam, and our ruh, our soul, goes towards arrogance and stubbornness. Am I right or wrong? Tell me, practically. That there's no guarantee that we are successful until fisil mikaf, until and unless 100% Islam comes into our life. And when Allah orders, then definitely, if Allah orders that you need to live our lives according to Allah's orders, then definitely the human being can do this. If Allah has ordered something, and if we don't practice this, if Allah has ordered us to do a task, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, is Allah oppressing us that He's ordering us? No, rather Allah is helping us to live a good life. Allah says, I give you such a way of life, I give you a test and a challenge. Challenge, I am your Rabb, I am your Creator. I give you such a gift that if you practice that, your desires are no force against you. Allah says, I'm helping you, assisting you. Allah hasn't taken His hand back. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah says, I'm your helper, your protector. It's not this that Allah says, I've given you enough desires and you'll drown and you can't be saved. Allah says, I've given you guidance. I sent 124,000 prophets. And Allah, if we don't have prophets now, then what do we do? Then Allah says, my awliya, Allah will come to the world. My friends will come. The door hasn't shut. The door hasn't closed. The friends of Allah, the mashayikh, they are the deputies of the prophets today in the world. Remember this. And they do the same job that the Nabi did. They have no other job, no other task. The walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, they get you forgiven the same way, they extract you from hell the same way, they make you crush your desires the same way, they do the same work that the prophets did, no other work. Whether you ask them for something else or not, but they have no connection with secondary things. Their function is one, to take the creation out of hellfire and to deliver them to the door of paradise. The wali Allah doesn't do anything else, and he has no other path, no other guidance. Why? Because the work of the Nabi was no other thing. The work of the Prophet was no other thing. Subhanallah. Day and night they only have one task, one duty. To take people out of hell and to deliver them to the door of paradise. That's the work of the friends of Allah. How? How? The arrogance and stubbornness that comes into a person, how to control it, how to suppress it. They teach this. So to control the desires, the nafs, Allah Ta'ala has given three things in our life. Remember this. To live your life, Allah has given you three things. Quran tells us this. Allah says, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِيمُ. Allah has given us three things to guide us in the world. Allah says, Quran. Allah said, I sent the Quran. I gave you the hikmah, the beautiful sunnahs of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to explain the Quran. And the third thing, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And Allah said that I sent Sufism, tazkiyah, purification for you to live your life. Three things. And we today Muslims have made this word. We say, yes, the Quran is there and the hadith are there. Tazkiyah. No. Don't go towards tazkiyah. Muslims say this is bidah, innovation. Someone says it's haram. Someone says it's bidah. Someone says it's innovation. Someone says it's peed or Sufis. Thousands of names people have given to this subject of Islam. I've seen today that those people who practice tazkiyah, some people don't even meet them. Oh, he's an innovator. He's a bidati. Oh, he's against Islam. Oh, he's doing haram. He's doing a wrong action. His actions are wrong, they say. Allah, servants of Allah, Allah's Quran is saying the Prophet came with three things and you are suppressing and rejecting one of the subjects of Islam totally. Say subhanAllah. So what is making us stop the tazkiyah? The nafs is making us stop tazkiyah because it's making us stubborn and arrogant. The real essence of Islam, the Quran gives us one message of tazkiyah. Allah's Nabi's Sunnah gives the message of tazkiyah. And the real essence of Islam is tazkiyah, purification. Purification. Tazkiyah, the Quran came to teach tazkiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all his sunnahs came to teach tazkiyah. They assist us to purify ourselves. They are helpers. The how do we control our desires and become proper good human beings? One believer, mu'min, from the beginning to the end, until the grave, his hands for fighting, he has the weapon how to fight his desires. 24 hours a day, the believer, he is in the playing field, the battle against the nafs. Not a second are we free from the battle of the nafs, with the clash with the desires. Always we have to keep on fighting our desires. Soon as we're lazy, the desires, when you're lazy, if you blink an eye, then the enemy will overtake you. Same way if you blink an eyelid, if you're lazy for a second, the nafs will overtake you. Our life experience proves this. Life isn't just this, come here, eat, drink, enjoy yourselves and die and go away. No, brothers, Allah has given you responsibility in your life. There'll be reckoning on the day of judgment, and a severe reckoning. As I said, there's only two ways. Either sijjiyin, Allah says, do you know what is sijjiyin? The punishment. Do you know the severity of the punishment in the hereafter? Will be the hal of a person. There are two parts. That the people who get to the hereafter, they'll only ask Allah one thing, Allah, we're in hell, Allah, give us death forever, Allah, we can't live in this hellfire. But the death won't be there. It will be eternal punishment. Allah warns us, may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive. If today we don't work hard, then we will go to that place. Who is deceiving us today? Who is giving us the wrong impression, the wrong false dawn? If we don't go there, then tell me those actions that the Prophet Muhammad has told us to do, are we doing them or not? Which work should we be doing? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّاهَا Allah says. Successful is that person, only one person, who does tazkiyah, purification, who controls his desires. Do you understand now what is tazkiyah, how important it is? This is not a choice. It's not a self-choice. Only those people do tazkiyah who require and want success in the hereafter. Those people who want success in the hereafter, who are fear of Allah, who read the Quran, they've understood the message of the Quran, that our destination of success will only get there when we do tazkiyah. So what is tazkiyah? How do we do tazkiyah? How do we purify ourselves? That's the question. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. So has anyone told you until today how to purify yourself? Has your father told you how to purify yourself? Did your uncle tell you how to purify yourself? Did your mother tell you how to purify yourself? No. So they said, oh, let's, when you were born, oh, make my son this, or make my son this. Only that person will tell you how to purify yourself who's doing the work of the Prophet in the world today. The true Wali Allah, the true Shaykh, you go to him, he'll say, my son, don't do this wrong action. Come out of that shaitani way and come to the right way. He will tell you straight forward the right path. The Shaykh, the teacher, he'll tell you right and left. He won't make you ashik or deceit or stray. He'll make you the human being. He'll make you the slave of the Prophet Muhammad. He'll make you the lover of the Prophet Muhammad. So some true, honest, sincere. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Good topic today, isn't it? MashaAllah. So where have we got to today in the discussion? Where shall I go back to the beginning? Brothers, just to summarize. Our life that we're living in this world, our success will be based on what? When we go to the hereafter, then we should go to the Illiyin station in Jannah Maqam. It's a place, Illiyin. Jannatul Uyun, the high rank of paradise. This is the glory of the believer, not right, left, off the track. What do we need to do to get there? To get there, there's a big restriction, obstacle that Allah's put in his place. What is that? Say loudly. The nafs. Our desires. What does the nafs do? Says, I don't want you to go to paradise. Our desires. What's the injection that injects into us? The poison. The nafs injects into us. The things that Allah likes, it doesn't want us to practice that. It will make it us pinch. It will pinch us. When Allah says, I want you to do this, the nafs will pinch you and say, don't do this. So to free yourself from the nafs, what we've learned to be successful, there's only one path. To grab the desires and crush the desires and you'll be successful. Do you understand? Grab the dog of the desires and chain it up and then start to do the work that Allah wants you to do. Then no force in the world will make Islam difficult for you. Rather, you'll be enjoying yourself when you obey Allah. You'll be enjoying yourself. So then you'll go into the line of the Iliyin and the Sijjin will go to hell. They'll be destroyed. And there'll be the Jamaat-e-Shuhada, the martyrs. And what gift were they given? It's not a gift for a small amount of time. They said, Allah, forget that. You give me your life. Allah, I give my life for you. And their maqam will be where they're under the throne of Allah. They are candles. They are like lanterns. Yeah, like floating balloons. They're not in the Iliyin. They're in the candles under the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah. Such houses Allah has made, beautiful mansions and palaces under the throne of Allah, the shade of the throne. And one ruh will go to Iliyin, mashallah, paradise, Jannah. And one ruh will go to Sijjin, the hell. They'll be destroyed. And Allah says, but the shuhada, the martyrs who gave their whole life for Allah in His path, they didn't care. And they just drowned, just like Ibrahim alayhi salam into the five Namdur. Allah say, we won't disobey your Allah. We want to please you. We want to please your Prophet. You just gave us a life. Allah, give my life for you, Allah. For your purpose, for your deen. And the reward for that person, Subhanallah, is not Sijjin, not the Iliyin, not paradise. Allah says, special abode under my arsh, my throne. I've made a place. Kandil, we don't know what is that house, that palace, that mansion, how beautiful is his home. So glorious. And the ruh, their souls, imagine their style of living, how they live there. That when they're in their houses, as soon as they feel like something, then their ruh, they come out of the houses and they float wherever they want in heaven. They float and they fly. All day long they float and fly around paradise. All day long they're enjoying and passion and desires wherever they want to go. When it's evening, then they fly back to their homes in their beautiful abode that Allah Ta'ala has made for them. Allahu Akbar. Aha. Imagine who those people? The shuhada, the martyrs. What a great maqam and rank Allah has given them. Why? What did they do? Their whole life they didn't obey their desires. They went beyond that. They said, forget their desires. Here's Allah's orders. And Allah, the most precious thing you've given to me is my life. My children and dunya, forget all of that. Because the most precious thing for a person is life. And he says, Allah, I give my whole life to your deen. Subhanallah. Rather, another announcement they make. They say, Allah, not just once, our desire is that you make us alive again and we go back to earth again and we do it again and we obey you again. They say, we want to keep on doing this, Allah. Subhanallah. And we are just wasteful people. We can't even wake up in the morning to pray salah. Imagine, analyze yourself. Analyze how much we are drowned in our nafs. And that even 4 hairs we can't grow in our beard. What paradise do you want? Oh kids, such beats we will get. Such shoes will be thrown on us. Read about the Sijin. That's where we will go. The people who leave salah, the people who leave the sunnah, who consume haram, who are immodest, the people who commit sins. Oh, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. This is a drama. People sin under the false dawn that Allah is merciful and forgive them. Understand today the reality of life. I'm not telling you, I'm telling myself. Astaghfirullah, mashallah, you are pious people, you are good people. I'm not talking to you when I speak to you, I'm actually speaking to myself. I'm explaining to myself everything. Astaghfirullah. How can I dare to speak to pious people like you and correct you? Allah's karam and mercy in this night of Rajab. Allah's allowed me, given me an opportunity that I can speak to myself. What kind of human being am I? I'm wasting my life. So when I read these verses, and then I just included you so you can listen to what I'm saying to myself. Because mashallah, you are pious people. You are good people. I'm not talking about anyone. I'm just speaking to myself. So then what happens after that? Allah orders, control your desires. Allah, how do I control my desires now? That's the next question. What shall I do to control my desires? So because we today have finished off the subject in Islam of tazkiyah, purification, is gone from our books today. It's gone from our learnings today. Allah says, control your desires. When you start tazkiyah, then you will grab your nafs and you will start to control it. You won't just control it. Rather, Allah says, you will transform your desires into a good thing. And it will start to encourage you. Then it will wake you up in the morning, your desires. It will force you, it will transform. Just like the dog that was astray, when you train it, then it will start getting things for you. It gets up for you, stands for you, sits down for you, licks you, runs after things for you, obeys your commands. Same way, you bring your nafs under control. So now learn what is the subject of tazkiyah in Islam. Let's have a look at tazkiyah. What is this subject? What is the subject of tazkiyah that Allah said in the Quran? Purify yourselves. Is it being a murid of a sheikh, a student? Is it dhikr Allah? No. What is tazkiyah? We use a key him. Tazkiyah, my friends, the subject of the deen, part of the deen, is this. That your nafs, your desires, this dog of the desires, you know, just like the dog is astray, your desires that is out of control, running astray. What do we do with this, Allah? Allah says that I'll give you the method how to do this. Allah says that give your desires in the hand of somebody else. Subhanallah. Oh, I'm fed up. You know, these kids, we say this, don't we, in the world. You know, my son, he's so off track. What shall I do? Let me go to this man and hand my son to them. Let's send him to Tabligh Jamaat. That 4 days, they will chilla, and he'll be all right after that when he comes back. So let's send him somewhere else. Send him off somewhere else. We do this, don't we? To correct our children. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? Now, I'll tell you the method. Allah says, to correct your desires, control them, that assign your desires to somebody else. Hand them over to somebody else. So I'm explaining, teaching you tazkiyah. This is the Quran that's telling us, not me. What do? Hand your nafs over to somebody else, a teacher. And when you hand your nafs over, then you give him full responsibility, full authority. Yes, you assign the power, you transfer the power to the person. Hey, my son. That for example, you hand over everything to that person, that I give you everything, the body, the skin, his bones, everything. Please correct my son. He's off track. So I assign his whole body and soul to you. Please sort this person out. So same way, when our nafs is out of control, Allah says, what should you do? Do tazkiyah, purify yourself. To purify yourself, hand your desires. Allah, who should we give our desires to? Who should we give our desires to? Who should we assign our desires to? To the Prophet? Because the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's gone. He's not here anymore. In the previous days, the Sahaba used to give, prior to that, people would give their desires to the Nabis. But today, Allah says, give your nafs to the awliya Allah, to the wali Allah, to the friend of Allah. Give your nafs to a friend of Allah. Listen carefully how to do this. So what does the Quran say? Ya ayyuha nabi, surah mumtahana. Yes, in surah mumtahana, Allah says, oh my Prophet, I will send the believing women to you, Muslim believing women. They will come to you, they will come to your company. What do you need to do? You should, that Allah says, I'm assigning them to your company. Yubayyanaka, what should you do? That, what is that name? The definition, the Quran has said this, that give them the pledge of allegiance. Accept their pledge of allegiance. Not that, oh, I don't want to do bayah. So listen how important is tazkiyah. And what is tazkiyah? Is giving bayah to a sheikh. When you go to a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, a teacher, you say, can you give me bayah, teacher? The meaning of bayah is that you are saying, my teacher, I'm assigning my nafs 100%. Flesh, bones, everything, skin. Do what you want to do with my nafs, oh teacher. Why? Because Allah said, Allah yushrik bi shayya, that take promises from these believers, O my Prophet. Allah says in the Quran that they are assigning themselves to you as students. So my Nabi, accept their pledge of allegiance. So the method that the Quran has taught us to crush the desires is bayah, pledge allegiance to the teacher. And bayah is you go to a teacher, a sheikh, and he'll take promises from you. He'll take promises from you. And to implement those promises equals bayah, pledging allegiance to the teacher. To implement those promises. Every man, when he goes to a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, and gives bayah, that's the meaning of bayah, pledging allegiance. Is that you are going to control and realign your nafs, to train your nafs. You're not going to become a wali Allah, to become a teacher, to see dreams, to become superhuman. Rather, your desires that's making you disobedient. You pray salah, you do dhikr, then I look at naked pictures, then I make mistakes, then I listen to music, then I commit sins. I've just come back from Hajj, then I commit sins. I can't control myself. Quran saying, go to the company of a friend of Allah and assign your desires to him so that he can start to train you and cure you. And you are then free. Oh my son, you are not on the right path. I assign you to the company of this pious man. Please, oh pious man, train my son. So have you assigned your desires to a teacher? No. If you assigned yourself, your beard would be the right length. Why do we go to get bayah today? Oh, he's a great man. He's pious. He's Shaykh al-Hadith. And he knows tafsir of Quran. He's knowledgeable. And he's a big peer. I want him to be my teacher. That's why we go today. Okay. But why should we go? Is that the connection that you go to take bayah and pledge allegiance? No. Whenever you do bayah to a sheikh, have one niyyah. That if in this man there is the quality, capacity, if he is a complete sheikh, then he will train my desires, my nafs. That's why I'm going to him. I don't keep my beard. He'll make him enable me to keep the beard. I can't control my eyesight in the world. He will teach me. I can't do parda. I can't pray salah. But when I go to him, the lying will come out. Dhulm will come out. Oppression will come out. Shaitani will come out. Kufur will come out. Pride will come out. And bad manners will come out. Knowledge will come into me. Nur will come into me. Marifah will come into me. And taqwa will come in. And fear of Allah will come into me. Subhanallah. And this equals bayah, pledging allegiance to the teacher. Whoever doesn't take bayah, remember this, announcing you what the Quran is saying. Whoever doesn't take bayah cannot do tazkiyah. If he's not doing tazkiyah, he can never be successful in the hereafter. You can pray salah. You can pray salah, go on hajj and do all these things. But the individual can never be successful who doesn't follow the path of tazkiyah. This is the announcement of the Quran, my friends. They come out of deception. This is not a innovation. This is not a subject. This is the Quran. This is the Sunnah Hadith. Same way the Prophet Muhammad SAW came with tazkiyah. Tazkiyah equals Islam. Tazkiyah is another word. That you will be successful with tazkiyah. Purification. You will be successful through purification. If you don't do purification, then you will keep on giving hollow announcements. You'll just be living the physical life. You'll be your nafil, your ibadah, your worship, your deen, your definition of Islam, your choice and preference. But you will not be the faithful person who follows Allah's preference until you don't assign yourself to the teacher to be trained. When you give bayah, then after that, listen, what is bayah? Bayah isn't this, that you've taken the hand of the teacher and then you live your life according to your desires. That's double sin after that. That's deception in your life. When you connect yourself to the teacher, then you must obey his instructions because you've made a promise. In his hand, you put the hand, then it's a big hand that you're giving there. That's a big hand that goes direct to Allah Ta'ala, the hand. Direct. Then there's no drama after that. And at that time, that's why you're doing bayah, because you've taken the promise. Yes, the sheikh takes the promise from you. So then you don't wilt. You don't shake. Whatever the sheikh says, It's just the meaning of Bayallah is explained. The pledging allegiance to Allah is totally you have assigned yourself over. Whatever the teacher says, then he is assigned. He is training what it is to stop or do. Totally, 100%. He says, your choice is gone. When you suppress your desire and you assign yourself, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, I'm telling you his statement. When you assign yourself over to the control of the teacher, at that time you become the 100% student murid. That's it. That's the definition. That is the meaning of bayah. Whichever human being gives bayah to a teacher like that, the Quran attests to this. Testify, the question doesn't arise that his nafs and desires will then pester him. Then you'll say, oh, come on, nafs. The nafs will say, wake up for tahajjud. Why are you sleeping? The nafs will wake you up. Bayah, meaning of bayah, isn't just this, that you've got a connection with a teacher for fame, for popularity, for some other reason, or to learn dhikr. No. No. It's not necessary to learn dhikr. No. Depends on the sheikh, that how he cures your disease. It's up to the teacher. You, for example, you've gone to the teacher and he accepts your request for bayah and he might not give you dhikr. It's up to him. He might not give you dhikr. Now, if the shaykh doesn't give dhikr, he might make you practice some other act of worship or deed. What does he say? Go, you know, my horse, they keep on giving water to my horse. Say subhanallah. That might be your task. That he was given dhikr 1,000 times and my shaykh's telling me to give water to his horse. So do you think, what's going on here? Hazrat Baba Farid Shakar Ganj, a student came to him. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya was his nephew. And his sister said, Hazrat, I brought this man to you, and he's your nephew. Give him some understanding. Teach him how to pray. So I said, leave him here in my company. Hazrat Baba Farid Shakar Ganj. And subhanAllah, he was a great sheikh at that time. He said, come. He was his nephew. And he said, my sister has left me here. He said, will you stay here? He says, what's my task? He said, that you just cook the food. Cook the food and feed it to the people. Say subhanAllah. He said, dhikr? What about dhikr? Adhkar, prayer, tahajjud? And who is this? He is a great sheikh. He's the teacher. Imagine this. It's not necessary that you'll be taught dhikr, read this Quran, nafal. No. If you've come to the hands of the sheikh, he knows that the desires of this student, where is it stuck? I need to release this nafs. So he might say keep 3 fasts or have poverty or hunger. But to control the nafs, the sheikh is not oppressing you. Rather, he is favoring you, that he's saving you from calamity. It's his favor upon you that he's strict on you. The teacher severe with you, strict with you, he's stern with you. When you love somebody more, then you control that person more. You're strict with that person more. It's not azab, it's not punishment. Rather, that if you love someone, if you're punishing that person for his mistake, you are warning that person, admonishing that person. So he should be grateful. Oh, my teacher, he loves me so much. If he didn't warn me, admonish me, then I was a loser. I was going to go and burn in the hellfire. And such a place, the sheikh takes the student out of the darkness. He's enjoying himself in his lust. And he stood in the hellfire. Suddenly the sheikh, he says, come from there. And he takes him out of the punishment. So much a time had passed. And the sister came and she looked at her brother and said, what's happened to you? He said, nothing. He said, what do you eat? He said, I've not eaten since you've left me. I've hardly eaten anything. I'm just eating these leaves. Why? Because you left me here at the teacher's hands. He said that you have to cook and distribute the food. He didn't say eat the food. Say subhanAllah. Such a murid. Are you murid like this? No, no, no. MashaAllah. I say that come to pray in the morning. It's too hard to pray salah. Can you tell me something else please? Tell me. Imagine this. Imagine. And we want that you think your nafs would be crushed? Is this how you take bayah? Bayah, this is the Quranic bayah I'm telling you today. Allah yushrik bina shayya. That you take the promises, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do it. Then accept, then give bayah again, Allah Ta'ala says. Who? The hukum of Allah and the Nabi gives the bayah. And the mu'minat, the believing women, sahaba of that time. They weren't some minor women and men of today that take bayah and then they go off the tracks. They demonstrated, Allah says, I gave the order, my prophet gave the bayah. And the mu'minat, the sahabiya, no kafirs, but the sahabiya already believers, they're taking the bayah. Why? Because what's the tariqah? That the believing people have to take bayah to control the desires. It's the proof in the life of the sahaba. There's no excuse. Otherwise, the nafs is such a zalim that it will take you to the sijjin place and thereafter it will make you commit such sins and it will show you that they're halal and you'll be committing the sins. So when the human being gets to this position, then what happens? Alhamdulillah. Taking bayah. Do you understand now? Become the student. Take the promise. And the person who runs away, he runs away. Yes, it's compulsory. You can't turn away from this. You have to come. You have to assign your nafs into the control of the teacher. You have to do tazkiyah to the highest stage. And you have to spend time in the company of the sheikh. When you go with this tariqah that I've just explained to you, you have to annihilate the stubbornness and the arrogance. Now the sheikh, the teacher, you can't find the sheikh nowadays. Very difficult. So when you can't find a sheikh, who do you ask from? Where do you ask from? Who will you ask from? Allah. Have you ever asked from Allah? For the teacher? We said we don't have a need. Have you ever said that, okay, I'll do istikhara, is this man good or bad? Yes, no, we're just staunch on our ways. Stubborn. Have you accepted him? No, we said, no, we want to go to Jahannam, we want to go to Sijin. Doesn't make any difference. It's only a few days in this world. And the Quran, the places the Quran has mentioned, may Allah forgive what is hell like. It's a taste here we've been given. Okay, fine. Straightforward instruction in the Quran. Who's telling you take bayah with him, take bayah with him? You have to take bayah. You have to pledge allegiance to the sheikh. You have to find a teacher. So what's your choice? Give it to Allah. Allah Ta'ala, show me such a guide who will be easy for me. I will like that teacher. I will like his words. And my heart will be connected to him. And I will feel like that I see him and he feels like he sees me. So that we have love between each other. Allah, give me the love. Give me your love, Allah. And give me the love of those people that you yourself love, Allah. Subhanallah. Have you ever had love for a person like this? Ask from Allah, inshallah, he'll show you that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, inshallah, will show you the guidance through his friend on the earth, because Allah wants to save you from hell. Because Allah says that this man wants to do tazkiyah. Let me assign him to a wali of mine. Because he can't on his own pass. Allah, your order is to control the desires. I can't control the desires of my own. And if I carry on like this until I die, it'll take me to shirk. It'll make me a mushrik. It'll make me a disbeliever. It's such a zalim oppressor is the nafs. The oppressor, the nafs is so wretched that if you leave a dog astray in the world, it will buy so many people within days. And you have to control it. Grab it. So if you don't grab the nafs and control it, it'll make you mushrik, make you a disbeliever, make you a sinful person. And on top of that, it'll give you a label that, no, you're a good Muslim. So that he never feels that he's sinful or wrong. Millions of people are like this, going into the hell, into the grave like this, because they never done tazkiyah, they never took a guide in the world, they never had a connection with the teacher in the world, which is lazim, essential, compulsory, and they're trapped in their chains. Oh no, he's this. No, ask from Allah for the guide. Allah, give me the teacher. And I got a teacher like this, tell me. In this country, I got the teacher. In this country, I was studying in university. I was 30 years old. I had a desire. Allah, that I am a sinful person. Sin beyond sin. How do I control my desires? Allah, give me a sheikh. Allah, I was so happy. Allah was so happy that this man today has asked me for the right thing. In the night, I slept and I had ziyara in my dream. In the night, I saw a dream. And I did ziyara. Tell me, Allah, he's closer to us than our jugular vein. If our intention is sincere, ask from Allah, swab Allah, that second you will get what you want. You won't even wake up before waking up, you'll get what you want. If you make niyyah before you sleep, Allah, I want to be rectified, I'm going towards hell. Allah, my nafs is deceiving me. You said in the Quran, your nafs will not be controlled, and then you will not be saved. You will be a mushrik, you'll be a disbeliever. Allah knows best what you'll become. Your nafs will take you to the wretchedness. You cannot be saved. Allah, what do I do? Immediately make a niyyah, an intention, a true niyyah, that Allah, please show me a guide in the world today so that through his company I can do tawbah, repent so I can control my desires. Before you even stand, Allah will show you the guide. Subhanallah. Everything should be based on our honest and true intention. But who makes the niyyah today? The nafs, our desires, doesn't make us do the niyyah today. Am I right or am I wrong? So today's lecture was good, wasn't it? Yes, was it bitter? Was it bitter, too bitter today, the discussion? It was sweet, mashallah, a very sweet discussion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has such a great path, many paths to Allah. There are many paths to Allah, but this is a great path. And this path breaks all the hurdles, the obstacles. Allah follows the system. Procedure. How can our nafs, our desires dare to deceive Allah's created his walis in the world, his friends are in this world? When I went to my sheikh, my teacher, I was dirty, impure person. And just imagine what I was like. And when I sat in front of my teacher, my sheikh, and I talk about intention, first meeting, we sat in front of each other, my sheikh said, why have you come? My teacher said, what was his first question? Why have you come to me? What is it you need? He said, kya gala? I speak in my Saraiki dialect. Kya gala sain? My teacher said, kyun aayo? He said to me, in Saraiki, tell me, why have you come? What do you need? I said, sai arz hai. There's a request. He looked at me, what? Why have you come to ask from me? Has he come for taweez? Has he come from... Because we ask for worldly things, isn't it? When we go, we think a sheikh, a friend of Allah's, we go and ask for, make me taweez, give me worldly things, pray for me. Very few people go to a sheikh, a teacher who succeed and become gold at that time. I have requested. Because this is all due to Allah's fadl. Because I asked Allah in my prayer. So I asked Allah. And when I asked Allah, He took me to the guidance of His teacher. He said, kyun aaya? Kya gaal hai? I said, Sai, gal to kuch nahi, there's nothing. I said, kya chahiye? He said, what do you want? I said, Sai, darkhast hai. I want to request. Yes, he said, what is it you want to request? I said, Sai, dunya chhadan chanda? The zikr karan chanda. I want to leave the dunya, the world, and I want to do zikr, and I want to... I said, three things. Allah made this say from my mouth. Wallah, Hazrat's sheet, their cloak about to drop. And he looked at me with attention, focus. He said, Kitwai Babu, where have you come from, Babu? He said, with love, where have you come from, young man? What is it you asking me? Do you know? I said, I want to leave the dunya, I want to do zikr, and I want to enable people to do zikr, teach zikr. In other words, I want to correct myself, and I want to correct the ummah of the Prophet as well. Allah, what a unique thing was asked. So my shaykh said to me, is it? Is this truth, honesty, what you're saying? I said, Arz, this is my request, sign. Milsi, he said to me, he said, you'll get it right away. Sit down. I just sat down. The night came. Every salah, we stopped for salah, then sat down in the hujra. In the final portion of the night, the final salah of Isha, my sheikh got me up. The whole gathering of his students were there. Hazrats. And my sheikh, and this was his darbar. Imagine the massive gathering. He stood me there. I had no beard, nothing. Totally Western style. He raised my hand, said, this man came, Ishaq Saya, and I've given him everything. Hazrat said, subhanAllah, whose achievement? Allah's achievement, because I requested Allah. This is Allah's achievement. When Allah promises, you ask me, I'll give you definitely. Have the true niyyah. You ask for me, Allah said. You ask for your creator. Then Allah says, I'll give to you. And Allah said, I said, Allah, I've given it. You should have courage, determination. Don't step back. That promise I made to my Hazrat, my Sheikh, alhamdulillah, I stuck to the task. Big tests came, big hurdles came. The nafs doesn't die, does it? Do you understand what I'm saying? The nafs was against me. Become mujahid. Mujahid. Strive. Look, my time's passed, the time's passed, the decades have passed, Allah's karam, inshallah, maybe I'll get somewhere good in thereafter with your prayers, because I'm just useless, I'm not worthy, I've done nothing. Do dua for me. So brothers, have courage, determination. If you take the hand, take the honest hand, in which there's no whispering and nonsense, rubbish talk. Have courage and go to the wali Allah, ask from Allah first. Who do you ask from? Ask from Allah, Allah show us the company of a pious person. Then when your heart feels, when Allah takes you to His friend, then grab that hand strong. And you can say, my hand might cut, but I won't leave your hand, O Shaykh. I've got the dunya and the hereafter in one go. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability and capability to practice this. So today, this was a great subject we discussed today, that every man in the world, he should look for a friend of Allah, a teacher, to control his desires. And when you find the teacher, the wali Allah, then do strong, 100% robust bayah with him, pledge allegiance, so that you don't look left and right. Whatever happens is what my sheikh will order me. I will practice that, whether he punishes me, tells me off, strikes me, whatever he does. Consider that as a gift, as a treasure. And if you think it's punishment, then you lose. Rather be happy. Pray for your sheikh. Oh, my sheikh, I'm so happy you were strict with me, and here's a gift for you. Don't run away, don't hide. Say, Allah, you're such a great favor of you, Allah, that you gave me your wali, who is rectifying me, improving me, who is worried about me, who wants to save me from hell. I have no relatives who wants this from me, no blood relative wants this from me. I have no one in the world who wants this. He doesn't want my money, he doesn't want my wealth, he doesn't want my property. He's such a great human being you've given me as a teacher who worries about me more than all my relatives. Was he wants to be, me to be saved from hell. May Allah give us all the tawfiq, may Allah give us such a friend and a wali Allah to all of us. Just ask from Allah. Allah is the one who will give to all of us. So human being, don't waste your time in life. Death is running after us. After us. Death is running after us. You won't even know when the death will arrive. And today we say, oh, well, what are you talking about hereafter, grave? What difference does it make? Death this far away, we say. Wallahi, if you understand from the Quran, the stories of death. Such a severe death people will experience. Such severe punishments in the hereafter. Learn from the Quran. May Allah save us from the severity of that time. Become true, sincere believers. Okay? If you take bayah with somebody, then implement the order of the sheikh. If he says, he should not have no need to tell you twice. That's friendship. If the friend says once, that's it. Enough. Then he's the true friend. Yes, not time and time again, sheikh. Why don't you pray salah? Why didn't you come to salah? Why are you lazy? What's this? What kind of friendship is this? One meeting, if he says salah, next meeting, alhamdulillah, next level you should go to. The previous story finished, next stage, next step. Then he means third time, the third stage. Not that you go in and rewind, fast rewind, punishment. Have you prayed 5 times salah? Are you still lazy? When are you going to start? Why are you still doing this? You still don't do tasbih? What kind of life is this you're passing? No. When you promise today one thing, tomorrow when you come back, new promise you go with. Do mujahid is such a person in his life, he's reviving and striving and he's flying towards Allah. Otherwise, these dramas, don't play games like kids. I'm bayah, going back, U-turn one day, tomorrow morning. Oh, just wasting your time. Leave it. Just go your way and don't waste the time with the wali Allah. Just keep on improving, striving, increasing, promoting. Don't talk about, the question shouldn't arise about going in reverse mode. Wa akhru dawana anil alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Musa idrusi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين دعوة يزيد وحبيب المؤمنين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجهدنا وخطأنا وأمدنا كل ذلك عندنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم صمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واجعلنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبرنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستعين يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم دمرهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.